The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Hi. How's everybody doing?
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
All right. All right.
Just, you know, rambling along.
Yeah.
Drinking my Coca-Cola Zero.
Yeah? How's that going for you?
It's not bad.
I have a Diet Dr. Pepper over here.
It's, you know, zero sugar, but it, you know, it's always got to watch the blood sugar, but it tastes really good.
Yeah, okay.
It tastes, it's the closest stuff, like to me, Diet Coke doesn't taste like Diet Coke.
Doesn't taste like the real thing, right?
Right. This actually tastes like
Coca-Cola
to me. To other people, it doesn't.
Yeah, that's why I like Diet Dr. Pepper. It doesn't taste like a diet. It tastes closer to the actual Dr. Pepper.
Supposed to go golfing today.
It's going to be 95.
Yeah.
You're going to go. Will you golf in the afternoon or the morning?
I think tee times at 10:57.
All right.
So it should be about 90 at that point. 80, 88, 89, right? And I'm taking a cart, so it's, you know.
Okay.
And I'll have plenty of water.
Right.
And plenty of no sugar Gatorade.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, but I'm going to be busy. I got a bunch of stuff out of town next weekend, and got a bunch of stuff going on in June. So it's like I've been golfing so good, and probably won't be golfing for a couple of weeks. It's like I just wanted to take the opportunity to get out there tomorrow,
right?
And hit a few. It's funny because at the driving range, you're talking about was out there at the driving range yesterday. It's like. Five guys and start talking to all of them, and they're all out for the same reason. It's summer, and they all got their buddies that they're getting together with. Five different people. We all start talking to one guy, the other guy. You find out everybody. Yeah, I haven't played in a long time, and it's like it's summertime, and I get family reunions, and old buddies are going to be meeting, and it's that competition going on. Mm-hmm. And every year, the reason that I actually work on my golf is because. This year is a little bit different. My back's feeling great, and I'm hitting the ball better than I've ever hit it before.
Good.
And so my coming up in either late June or early July, I'm supposed to play. One of my buddies,
mm-hmm.
my best friend, who I've known since I was 8 years old, and even though it's not supposed to mean anything, it does.
Yeah, it's important.
It's still. He's still out there, and we're both, I'm working on me. I got to beat the living daylights out of
him. Yeah, you got to defeat your friend.
And
that's what friends are for, to be defeated.
And the funny thing is, every guy in the driving range, and a lot of them, you know, it was funny because we actually had to help one guy whose swing was horrible. We said, look, you got to do something because you're not going to beat your buddies with that swing.
Yeah.
The guy kept topping the ball and kept going like 3 feet.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
You're gonna have a.
Was it me? I don't remember being out there on the golf course.
Like, you're gonna have a 10.
Sounds like me golfing.
You have a 10,000 on the first hole.
Yeah.
So. But other than that, like you, it's all week has been. It was funny because you showed me all the tree limbs and stuff.
Yeah, I cleared some trees on the side of the house because we're putting in some sprinklers and we're gonna plant new trees. This is like the last stage of what's going on out in the front of my house. And so I cleared a bunch yesterday, got it out of the way, and had some business in the morning and then got that done. Because, we went from like winter to, you know, in Texas winter, a real winter.
We went from Texas winter to Sahara Desert.
Exactly, to 90s. And because we were getting cool fronts for a while there,
we were.
every several days, but now it's it's summer.
Well, I got
I know it's not officially, but it is.
I got my new toy.
Yeah, what'd you get?
My tree trimmer.
Yeah, that's what I was using yesterday.
That extends out to 14 feet, so I don't have to use the smaller tree trimmer and use the ladder.
Yeah.
I realized, you know, I need to stop using ladders.
Yeah, don't do that. I can get up on the roof, and I'm very slow and careful in getting up on the roof, but once I get up there, I have no idea. My fear of heights just went away. Now, if I'm up on the ladder, I don't think it's the fear of heights on the ladder. It's the fear of a shaky ladder.
my roof lines are just too steep. And
You've got a newer build.
It was a couple of years ago when storm came in and blew off some shingles, and I was all cocky. I was like,
you're going to get up there and fix it.
I get up. I got the little sheets. I got the tacks. I got everything. Yeah, yeah. They're still in the garage because I got the ladder. You know, put it up against the side of the house. Climbed up on top. Put 1 foot on the shingles and saw how steep it was
and
said,
like, no.
To hell
no,
with that.
No.
I don't care how much it costs. Yeah. I'm not doing it. I don't want to die. I get back down. So I call the guy. Mm-hmm. So the next day, the guy comes out and everything. It's amazing how this happens. And one of my best friends, Jerry, who I'm visiting next week, he lives in Tampa. Him and his wife going to every year we get together at least once. But, you know, his wife calls me and said, oh, man, Jerry's in the hospital. He fractured his back.
Oh, wow.
What do you mean? Fell off the roof. So then I just made that decision not to get on the roof anymore.
Yeah, no, it can be very serious.
I can't do it, so.
Yeah. We were talking about this off the air. It's always something around the house. I mean, it just never ends. So, yeah, I saw a guy with a steep roof the other day in a video. And he was replacing his attic vent on the roof. And he put a board between two of the peaks. It was one of the steep roofs like yours. And he put a board between the two peaks to sit on while he was doing that. And I'm thinking, no. He's clearly done that before. He's clearly been on that roof quite a bit because he had no problem getting up there and doing all that work. But those steeper roofs, have you ever watched those guys work on those roofs, build those roofs?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Well, I think about, you know, at that point, of course, I'm worried about my safety, and I'm not experienced doing stuff like that, roof climbing. Mm-hmm. But then I think about, we talk about how wimpy some of the younger generations can be, and then I realize how wimpy I am compared to generations before us, especially when somebody posts on Facebook some of those old iron workers working on those skyscrapers in New York City from the 1920s. Or 1918, and they're 70 stories up, and they're just walking on the beams, no safety wire, nothing.
Yeah,
and they're walking around on it, and you're just like, you're 900 feet in the air. There's got to be a 50 mile an hour wind, and you're walking a tightrope on the beam. It's like, wow, yeah, I'm a wimp. All right, let's get back to the stuff. That's been going on for the year. The anniversary we're celebrating, Robert Mueller's year anniversary.
No cake.
Of going after the, covering and trying to find out whether there was collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians to hack or either change the outcome of the election. You mentioned Rudy Giuliani out there speaking.
He's got to stop. He's got to stop. You know, because it came out, he mentioned or he made a statement during an interview and was talking about Mueller narrowing the scope of the interview questions. And I said, no, Rudy, no, because there's not going to be an interview because Mueller can't identify a crime. Why would you ask your client, the president, to sit in front of Mueller? Why would you even suggest that? Because at some point he said this is the first gesture of goodwill that he's shown by narrowing the scope of the questions. Look, when those questions came out, someone made the point. This isn't whatever it was, 56 questions. This is 56 different topics.
Yeah.
Which means it's going to be you're going to be in there for 2 or 3 days, not 2 or 3 hours, and beyond that, nothing happens until Mueller can say This is the criminal event we are investigating.
Why? This has befuddled both you and me. Why isn't Giuliani or any of his lawyers making that clear? What do they know that we don't know? What aren't we being told? Why isn't that question being asked of them?
Right.
Because that would be the first question. You tell me I am not a target of the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
We know that you're investigating people close to me. If you wish to have questions specifically about them, you know, you can get written answers from them. Or are the questions only about those that have, that you believe have committed crimes and you have indicted? If it's not about that, I'm not speaking because you've already told me I'm not a target of the investigation. And the questions that you are asking me, unless they've whittled them down where they're no longer asking the questions, but those his lawyers have not made that clear. But if you're asking me what my mindset was for firing Comey, there's no crime there. I'm not answering that. I'm not answering questions unless I know that I'm either being charged with the crime or you suspect me of a crime, and you've already told me I'm not a target of the investigation. You don't suspect that I have committed a crime. So why do you need to talk to me?
Right.
Where is this going?
Right.
Otherwise, no, I'm claiming executive privilege. If it is about those that you have indicted, I'll give you my honest answers if you call me in as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're calling me in as, you say I'm not a target, but I'm a subject, what's the difference?
Right.
Yep. Otherwise, no, I'm not. And that's never been fully explained to our satisfaction as to why the lawyers haven't brought that. Maybe they brought that up, but they haven't made that public. And I would think that that would be something that you would bring up in the public because it's something that Jonathan Turley has brought up. It's something that Dershowitz has brought up. And so you just think that since it's part of the narrative out there where people know the fact that you're not a subject of the investigation, well, then why do you need to be questioned? What are the questions about?
Right.
And if the questions are about my legal activities and you hope to trip me up about my legal activities to find me where I've said one thing one time and another thing another time and charge me there, that's not going to happen.
No. Won't happen. And that's the entire thing is because we absolutely can't let this go on any longer without Mueller saying what the crime is. This is the crime we're investigating. Or this crime was attempted. There was a conspiracy to pull off this event.
Well, for example, Manafort.
Mm-hmm.
Manafort's been, you know, indicted.
Mm-hmm.
If you wish to ask me questions, I'll answer them in writing.
Right.
But the fact is, I didn't know anything about his, and there is no evidence that he knew anything about the Manafort stuff, which goes way, way back over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I never even associated with him at that particular point. So what are the questions about me and why? If I'm not a subject, why do you want to know about my legal activities?
Right.
Nobody has answered that question to my satisfaction or your satisfaction.
Right.
And you and I have talked about that over and over again. Instead of we've asked that question, many others have. How come the lawyers haven't brought that
up?
Well,
obstruction, you know, with firing Comey or asking Comey to go easy on Michael Flynn and all of these things.
Not obstruction.
You know, it's not. He has the right to fire Comey. It did not impede the investigation. It did not. In fact, it's the whole reason you're here, Mr. Mueller. And then you go to the report that in January of 2018, that the president considered firing Mueller. Well, why would you? Because those were some of the questions that came up. Those dozens of questions. That was one of them. What do you mean considering? What were the thought police now? This is what we're doing. Meanwhile, all the facts in the case, the ones we do know about, Perkins Coie, the DNC, the Hillary campaign, nobody's even disputing those facts. The dossier. No, that's not that's we're not going in that direction. It's like you said earlier, and we've said it before, but it bears repeating here. If you're not starting at the beginning of this, then you're not doing an investigation.
Right. And nobody's answered that question.
Right.
As we brought up before the top of the hour,
mm-hmm.
that if you follow as an investigator, not a political partisan, it has to take you the first place it's got to take you is the FISA warrant.
Yes.
Because that's the evidence to start the investigation, apparently, originally was. But you've got to go to that FISA warrant to mm-hmm. find out, the application to find out what was the evidence that you used to be able to spy on Carter Page.
Right.
And so that's the first thing you would go to as an investigator, because that's where the most evidence apparently is.
Right.
Which would then take you what? Right to the Hillary campaign and the DNC mm-hmm. and Christopher Steele and Perkins Coie and Fusion GPS and the federal election campaign money violations possibly there. Isn't that where that would naturally take you?
Right.
If you're an investigator and not a political partisan. We've asked that question for months.
And who
and
the
it
FBI,
doesn't seem like anybody in the public square is.
Who in the FBI assigned a spy to the campaign?
Yeah, that's another good question.
Yes.
86... that now we can ask after this week.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
In 2017, 41.4% of road check violations were a result of issues related to vehicle brake systems. Not only is it important to keep your brake system in tip-top shape to avoid being placed out of service, it's necessary in order to keep your vehicle running at optimal performance. Here is a tip to keep your brake system in the best shape possible. Drain your air tanks daily. Brake system air tanks, while often overlooked, are a crucial part of proper maintenance. Pay attention to the amount of water and contaminants that escape. Too much moisture in the tanks is not good and can indicate that the air dryer is not functioning properly. The next CVSA International Road Check is June 5th through the 7th, so be sure to get inspected today.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let us go to Robert in San Francisco. Robert, hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Robert.
Hi. I just want to talk about the contrast and difference between Trump and Hillary. Trump, we know he's given, 1.4 million documents, over to the DOJ?
Yes, he has.
And Hillary, when she was... being investigated for emails, she deleted 33,000 emails that we know of, and not only that, scrubbed it, and then had people destroy your devices for it.
And you not only that, but the trouble that they have had getting. Remember how much trouble they had getting those emails,
how long it took.
Freedom of Information requests the Judicial Watch filed in order to get those emails. In fact, I think Judicial Watch was actually more successful than some of the congressional agencies were in getting the documents and analyzing what they meant. So she was doing everything not to release any information that came from her server. Well, you're right. The Trump administration, it's been over a million documents that they have given to the special counsel.
Robert, that's a great point. Thank you for the call. That's an important distinction. I was telling you during the break, it's got to drive the liberals very, very, just crazy, over the top crazy, because he has not flinched. He really hasn't in this whole thing. It really isn't affecting his work. He's been able to do this, all the things that he's accomplished as a president, he's been able to do, in spite of this being in place pretty much the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Bona Show.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Curley. I'm Gary McNamara. And thanks to our listener who pointed out our mistake. See, if we make a mistake, it's always
pointed out. Who's your mistake, not mine?
Gary McNamara, Eric Curley.
Hey. It was my mistake. It was my mistake.
Yeah, thank you, Fergie.
Earlier when we were talking about the internet star, whatever, who was accused of cultural appropriation.
Right.
And we did mention the transracial and transgender school policy. I said Rhode Island. It is Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Thank you.
Kind listener.
We do not. The last thing we'd want to do is indict the very, very conservative
state of
Rhode Island.
Why would we do that? That would be wrong.
And who was it? Was it Peggy who wrote us?
Fergie.
Fergie wrote it? It was Fergie? Okay.
Grandma Gaga.
No. Thanks. It wasn't Grandma Gaga.
Fergie, thanks. So,
Thank you, Fergie. And thank you for listening.
Yeah. My mistake. All right, you ready for our audio cut of the day?
Okay.
Our audio cut of the day comes from the White House.
What?
Yes, this comes from the White House, where the White House staff answered the big question, including the president, Laurel or Yanni, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
All right.
All right, here we go. These are all members of the White House staff. And at the end, you'll hear Vice President Pence and then President Trump and what they heard.
Okay.
So clearly Laurel.
It's Laurel.
Definitely Laurel.
It's Laurel. But I could deflect and divert to Yanny if you need me to.
It's clearly Yanny.
Yanny. Definitely Yanny.
Yanny's a winner. Laurel's a loser.
Sarah, it's been reported that you hear Laurel. How do you respond?
Clearly you're getting your information from CNN because that's fake news. All I hear is Yanny.
Oh, man, that's Laurel.
Laurel. It's Laurel, America. Definitely hashtag Laurel.
Who's Yanny?
I hear Covfefe.
That's funny. That's good.
Well, they are learning.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I both looked at that and said they are learning. Have a sense of humor about stuff in pop culture.
Have a little fun with it.
Do that. And
you disarm. You disarm a lot of it.
And you disarm. And as we said, I mean, what they did yesterday on MS-13 was absolutely the correct thing. And if there's been a show that has criticized the communications of what comes out of the White House, it's been us, number one on Giuliani.
Yeah.
But others have been right on. Yeah. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders yesterday taking dead aim at the reporters, on the whole MS-13 taken out of context controversy, which wasn't a controversy at all, it was a made-up controversy by the media, was tremendous.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this is indicative of where the left is right now. And we've been basically answering this question or addressing this issue all week. Because I don't know where it began, but sometime over the last week and a half or so, you had liberals coming out saying, okay, we need to stop attacking Trump. It's because a couple of them made the point, it's only encouraging his base.
Right.
But we need to promote things. We need to, you know, go in a different direction. And we've asked the question, okay, well, why aren't you offering an idea when you write the piece, former Mayor Willie Brown, or when you say this in an interview, what would you want them to promote? Your party, if you're on the left. And none of them have floated any ideas. You know, Willie Brown he's held office before, fairly prominent, certainly could offer up one idea that the Democrats as a party should be promoting, just one. Well, that narrative went on. Then all of a sudden you had the Hamas situation in Israel. And immediately the left media just went after the Israelis. Then, of course, you had Morning Joe going after Ivanka Trump for not caring as people were dying. And it turns out Hamas came out and promoted and said 50 of those individuals were our people, Hamas. And the media just kind of had to back away, gone. And then the situation yesterday with MS-13, it was clear what the president was saying. Then they had to run with it until they got called on it again. They got burned. By the way, they didn't get burned. They burned themselves. It was very clear. There was no story there. None. It was overhyped BS from the beginning. Deliberate. Because if it wasn't deliberate, which means, by the way, they were lying. Nancy Pelosi, no, she's a liar from way back in the day. So I expect her to lie about it. But the media was either being completely disingenuous, they were lying to, or they're grossly incompetent. Then to the absurd level of having to pretty much defend MS-13. Well, everybody is human. This is not the way we... Really? Tell that to the murderous gang members and the families of their victims. Why don't you tell them that you need to have a kinder approach when talking about them? Why don't you tell the families of those victims that we need to talk in a civil tone when we talk about MS-13?
It was really an amazing day because when I first saw it, you know, when I saw yesterday the direction of where it was going, it was sort of a little bit of disbelief. Mm-hmm. That don't they, you know, I never forget when my father told me one time, he said, you're going to meet people that you're going to view in the business world. You're going to say, do they have a death wish? Mm-hmm. Because they do something that's just so stupid, that's so obviously wrong, mm-hmm. that you just wonder, are they just all jumping off the cliff? Right. And that's what I started thinking yesterday. I started thinking, wow, they're all, you know, it's almost like, if your friend jumped off the bridge, would you? Well, actually, yesterday it was yes, because the media was just falling for mm-hmm. it, seemingly hook, line, and sinker when it was clear out there. It only takes... We play the audio of the president in that meeting with law enforcement when the one sheriff asked the question.
Right.
And it was specifically about MS-13, and everything was in the context of MS-13. And as I said, it's almost as if, to use... A very simple example is if somebody asked me, do you like Eric? Mm-hmm. And I went, yeah, I like him. I like him a lot. He's a good guy. Or if I said the opposite, I don't like him. He's a complete idiot.
Yeah, more.
And then someone says, well, what about Eric? And I mm-hmm. said, well, I just told you. Well, no, because you didn't say his name, Eric. Well, no, but your question was the reference to, you know, set the parameters of my answer. Mm-hmm. And so all I had to say was he, and that's basically what it is, since he didn't say MS-13 in responding to a question specifically on MS-13 and said they, mm-hmm. then he was talking about undocumented immigrants, mm-hmm. which of course he wasn't. And it was just, it was so dumb. And they all seemed to jump on it. Let's all jump off the cliff together on this. And then as we pointed out to the point of, finally, when I woke up yesterday and saw the Tucker Carlson interview with the Univision anchor, who was basically, you know, what's wrong with what he said? Well, because you dehumanize when you use terms like that. You dehumanize all people, and you shouldn't dehumanize anybody. Well, right. Yeah, you can. Yeah. You can through your words dehumanize because of the actions some people out there, and MS-13 are probably some of the people that you could do it to. And so when you started finding a defense of MS-13, you just said, wow, they've just completely lost all semblance of any type of rational thinking. Yeah. And so that was the thing really that amazed me. I said, I can't believe this is a direction they're going in, which made me next think, why are they panicking? What is this panic that today makes it that this has to be the issue to demonize Trump when they're going to lose it? Yeah. They're not going to win this.
No.
And they just seem to keep going down that same hole. And to me, it was It was really an amazing day, and it shows you the mindset of the media right now, which is it a panic? Is there something when you cover Washington from the inside? Are there rumors that they're hearing which, you know, make them emotional in one direction or another to just be stupid? Because that would be the thing that I would say if I'm an editor and I saw some of the questions erect and said, look, you're being stupid by taking that context or by taking that statement out of context. And as I said earlier, even if I was a liberal, if I was a liberal opinion maker, at the minimum, if I was a liberal and hated Trump, my response would have been, well, I don't like Trump at all. I hate Trump. And yeah, I think he's a racist, but this is the wrong setting to use. This is the wrong example to use.
Yeah.
Even if you were a liberal who hated Trump and thought he was every ist in the book,
mm-hmm.
you would still have to look at what happened and just say, well, no, there's nothing here.
He was clearly addressing the gang. Addressing.
Right. So that's just the bizarre point of it. In other news, the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, has apparently finished with his investigation on the FBI and the DOJ and their investigation on the handling of the Hillary Clinton email probe. Now, one thing that caught my attention yesterday was Britt Hume
mm-hmm.
liking a tweet and actually responding and saying, I wonder how much coverage this will get. And it was from Paul Sperry, former editor of was it Independent Business?
Yeah, IBD.
Yeah, mm-hmm. IBD. And who wrote, breaking, Inspector General Horowitz has found, quote, reasonable grounds, end of quote. He doesn't say where he got his quote from, for believing that there has been a violation of federal criminal law in the FBI Department of Justice handling of the Clinton investigation, and has referred his findings of potential criminal misconduct for possible criminal prosecution. Then Sarah Carter was on Fox News and also wrote a column. The Department of Justice Inspector General has sent what is described as an extremely long and thorough draft of the much-anticipated report on the FBI and Department of Justice investigation and handling of the Hillary Clinton email probe. This reporter has learned the detailed report on the FBI's decision-making process into the Clinton investigation could lead to possible criminal referrals for some of the officials involved in the case. Mm. Inspector General Michael Horowitz's report, which is expected to be released in the next 3 to 4 weeks to the public, has been turned over to current and former officials for review, as first reported in the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post. The draft, however, does not include any recommendations for criminal prosecution. If there was any evidence collected by the Inspector General's Office on criminality, Horowitz would then refer the matter to the Department of Justice and submit a separate criminal referral to prosecutors.
Right.
So there you go. So just to clarify, the one tweet that was out said could lead to possible criminal referrals to some of the officials involved, but that is not included in this report.
Right.
This is a report.
That would be the next
not
stage.
Not a criminal referral.
If yes. it does happen, that would be
yes.
beyond
the report. The report focuses solely, they believe, on the Clinton investigation and not on the 2016 Russian election meddling investigation, according to sources.
No, the only possible connection there is that it might give us some insight as to what the culture was under yes. Comey at the FBI. Yes.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. I just my favorite headline yesterday, and it was on a legit story, but I think the author Benny Johnson from the Daily Caller just having a little fun was reporter asked Trump why he called MS-13 gang members animals. And the next line of the headline, Trump deports him to Gitmo.
Fake news.
I'm telling you, it got me to laugh.
Yeah.
So there you go. And Brian gave me this article. Finally, a Kenyan hotel is charging couples up to $10,000 for a package to watch the televised proceedings of Britain's royal wedding on Saturday.
Wait, what?
Couples are to come dressed in their finest wedding guest attire to the viewing party at the Windsor Golf Hotel and Country Club in Nairobi, according to a poster advertising the event, a royal wedding celebration. Organizers said the premium package comes with a two-night hotel stay and a helicopter ride to Mount Kenya. But many Kenyans on social media argue ticket fees for the event were higher than the cost of attending the wedding in the UK.
Let's pretend like we're going to go to a wedding.
There's that much expendable income.
That's right.
In Kenya? Really?
Yes.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. In the news today, we finish off the week perfectly.
Yeah.
We started out the week with so much of the news out there, whether it was former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown, whether it was Bernie Sanders' son who's running for Congress, or many others. It seemed like over the last 10 days or so, when we brought this to you the first couple of days of this week, that the mindset was, we have to stop the demonizing of Trump. It has to stop. It has to stop. It's not working. It's not effective. People are wondering what Democrats stand for, what liberals stand for. Do they care about the working people out there? Do they care about the economy? Or do they just personally hate Donald Trump so much that they're just demonizing him and doing it unfairly so, therefore turning middle America, independents, and some Democrats the other way? Right. Our response was, yeah, nice, but tomorrow you'll be back to doing exactly what you have been doing, because mm-hmm. you can't stop what you're doing.
No.
Because you really can't change the direction of where your party is going when it's based, as we have talked about quite frequently, on identity politics. Mm-hmm. When it's based on having victims and having oppressors. And when the victims of today soon become the oppressors of tomorrow, because you need to keep expanding that pie of victims. So you're not going to do it. Plus the hatred that you have for Trump. And it is hatred.
Right.
People hate his personality.
Mm-hmm. And that is not going to change. It's the nature of these individuals that, again, don't really know any other game. I mean, you know, it goes back to the day after or the days after the election. Well, maybe we need to go out and put some coveralls on and go out into the Midwest. Yeah, that fleeting thought died quickly, because you're not.
Right.
You're not going to change who you are as an individual, because it goes back to the motivation behind their actions. We talked about it yesterday with the whole MSNBC Morning Joe on Hamas and Ivanka Trump. I mean, he really wanted to go after not just the president, but his family.
Right.
And that's the motivation behind that ridiculous display on Morning Joe with that split screen. Ivanka doesn't care about the people who are dying. And it was beyond absurd. And
right.
Yesterday.
And
same thing. You know what was going on with MS-13.
Yes.
You know exactly what he was addressing, but you went out of your way to try and make it look like he said something racist.
To the point where you just look stupid.
Yes.
And to the point we got last night where you had, and it was just classic, and we'll play it coming up here in a little bit, the Tucker Carlson back and forth with the Univision host, you know, that, well, you know, even it's wrong even to say it about MS, you know, 13 because they're humans and no human is an animal. Actually, some are. Yeah. But actually, as he pointed out, and we had said earlier in the show, we actually are animals.
We are.
Specifically, animals. We're mammal animals. But the MS-13 thing was such a... I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was dumbfounded yesterday. I couldn't believe that they were trying to sell that to the American people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you point out the whole thing, too, because we had mentioned earlier this week about U.S. Embassy now in Jerusalem and Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
And we had specifically went after Morning Joe because he went after Ivanka Trump and said the whole family doesn't care about lives being lost. That narrative was quickly stopped when you found out that over 80% of those people killed were either part of Hamas or the Islamic Jihad, as was pointed out yesterday by a man by the name of Daniel Sugarman.
Mm.
On Tuesday, Daniel Sugarman wrote an article on the clashes at the Gaza border for JZ.com,
mm-hmm.
a Jewish publication. I said Israel should be ashamed. Now I am the one who is ashamed.
Wow.
Is what he writes. It's never easy to say you're sorry. To admit you're wrong, to announce publicly I made a mistake, but to apologize when that apology comes bound up with what is perhaps the most intractable conflict on earth, it makes it 1,000 times harder. But that is what I am, sorry. A few days ago, I wrote a column about the latest round of violence on the border with Gaza. It was a cry from the heart. I love Israel. I have always loved it and cannot envision a time when I will not love it. But in my office, I sat near a television set, and on Monday, I saw the following side by side, which means what? The split screen.
Yep.
On the left, in Jerusalem, I saw happy faces, self-congratulatory faces. I saw the Prime Minister of Israel talking about how the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem was a big step towards peace. And on the right, simultaneously in Gaza, I saw tear gas and smoke and bullets. And it was in this context that I wrote my piece, which was an extremely personal one. I wrote it in anguish. I wrote it making clear that I despised Hamas and all it stood for. But I also wrote the following, quote, every bullet Israel fires, every life Israel takes makes the situation worse. There are ways to disperse crowds which do not include live fire. But the IDF has made an active choice to fire live rounds and kill scores of people. You cannot tell me that Israel, a land of technological miracles, which have to be seen to be truly believed, is incapable of coming up with a way of incapacitating protesters that does not include gunning down dozens of them. But no, in front of the entire world, Israel keeps shooting and protesters, including very young protesters, keep dying. You may tell me that Hamas wants these deaths, wants to create martyrs, wants to fill the hearts of the people of Gaza with rage against Israel because their alternative is for people to look at their lives in Gaza and rage against Hamas. But if you tell me that, why are you not asking yourselves why Israel is so willing to give Hamas exactly what it wishes? Then he talks about he got praise for the article. He got criticism for the article. He got called a traitor. He got called every name in the book. He said, but the criticism I paid most attention to was from the people who pointed out that it was absurd to deal in hypotheticals. I'd said, surely there must be a way the protesters could be stopped without shooting live ammunition at them. That Israel, with its incredible technological capabilities, must be capable of developing a way. That was a cry of anguish, but it was not an argument. If no such technology currently exists, then it was absurd of me to blame the IDF for not magically willing it into existence. The traditional crowd-stopping technology would not have worked effectively. Rubber bullets are only short range. The same with water cannons. And with tens of thousands of people rushing the border, this would have been extremely unlikely to work effectively. The border would have been broken through. And then without much of a doubt, a lot of people in Israel would have died. That was, after all, Hamas's stated aim. But what really affected me the most was yesterday when a Hamas operative went on television and claimed that of the 62 people killed in the last 2 days. 50 were Hamas operatives. Islamic Jihad claimed three more, meaning that over 80% of the people who were killed were trying to breach the border. They were members of a terrorist organization and terrorist organizations whose direct aim is to bring death and suffering to Israel. And I opened my eyes and I saw what I had done. I had fallen into the trap I had always been convinced I would not fall into. I had condemned Israel for defending itself. There are things one can write about how Israel could have acted differently in the run-up to these attempts to charge the border. But I did not write about those in my original piece. I wrote that by killing the Palestinians running towards them, the IDF was giving Hamas exactly what it wished for, martyrs for the cause. I failed to acknowledge that either way, Israel would be giving Hamas what it wanted. Shoot at those charging at you, and Hamas would have its martyrs. Failed to shoot, Hamas would break through the barrier and bring suffering and death, its stated aim, to Israelis living only a few hundred yards away from that barrier. The march may have originally been, as it was declared to be, about Palestinians returning to the homes they had to leave 70 years ago, but Hamas's aim was far more straightforward. We will take down the border and we will tear out the hearts from their body. I wrote in my previous article that Israel was a regional powerhouse and that it was strong enough to take criticism from the Jews who were disapproving. I still believe that it is strong enough to do so. I just don't believe that my criticism of it was valid. Given the circumstances and the situation on the ground, I am at a loss in terms of coming up with a better solution. The choice was quite literally shoot at people running at you with the stated aim of killing you and your families, or fail to shoot and let them do it.
Good. I'm glad to see somebody at least is not only willing to recognize her mistake, but then publicly.
Well, as we said, that story disappeared very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When the Hamas leader came out and said,
yep,
50 of the 62.
Right.
We're from Hamas, mm-hmm, and then the Islamic Jihad claimed another three.
Right.
So that's over 80% of those that were killed were terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their stated goal, as we admit. And that's why we took Morning Joe on MSNBC to task when we played their audio. They were the propaganda arm for a terrorist organization, mm-hmm, who wishes to do nothing but destroy a free country and kill innocent men, women, and children. And that's what they were doing. And they love to use human shields. They love to say, okay, let's get some of our own people to protest. And if they get killed in the act of us attempting to create a heinous act, well, then Israel gets the blame. We don't. And they get the blame from the liberal American media, too, as we saw. And it's despicable.
And the hatred for a president drives it.
It's absolutely despicable what was happening in the media the other day concerning that, and despicable what went on MSNBC.
Yep.
And so you wonder, because that came out, and like, as I said, there are the two obvious things this week. We all knew. That's the whole thing. That's the one thing where the left has gotten to. They don't even care whether they have an argument anymore. Mm-hmm. Everybody was clear what Hamas wanted to do. Everybody knew what was happening, and still they tried to lie about it. That's the whole point. MSNBC, they weren't duped. This guy might have been duped.
Mm-hmm.
Morning Joe wasn't duped.
No. They've known for a long time. And you know, we said yesterday, the reason they're backing off is because now it doesn't matter. People on your own side will shame you. They will call you out. You can't get away with that anymore. The media used to drive, if you think about it, the media would often drive the party. It would all often kind of set the talking points. It still does. But in a situation like this, when there is an event happening like that, there's no other way to go except you've got to back off when Hamas comes out and promotes, right, that they were the ones. This was Hamas act. But they've never hit it from the media. We covered this the other day.
That's the whole point.
And Iran doesn't hide the whole death to America. And they want Israel to be gone.
And on the MS-13, we'll play the audio coming up. Clearly, they took the president completely and totally out of context. He was there with law enforcement in California talking about sanctuary cities and a specific question on MS-13.
Yep. And they know what he was addressing.
Nancy Pelosi took it out of context. How many headlines took it completely and totally out of context that the president was talking about undocumented immigrants?
Right.
As if the president was calling them animals. No, the specific question was for MS-13. Here's the whole point. As soon as they came out with it, everybody knew you're going to get blown away in a couple of hours.
Right.
You're going to get blown away really soon on social media on this because it's a bad call. If you want to go, if you're on the left and want to go after Trump, it's plenty from your point of view you can go after him from, but this one you're going to lose. Same thing on Hamas. They knew they were, did they know they were going to lose it? Because obviously we knew what Hamas was doing, and boom, that story was gone in a day as soon as a Hamas leader came out and said that the vast majority of those killed were terrorists. Mm-hmm. Because why? They were trying to kill Israelis.
Yep.
And that's it. So if you want to know, if the media is out there dumbfounded, if Chris Cuomo on CNN, I don't know why they call this fake news. Well, you've got two great examples. The MS-13 story and the Gaza story this week.
Yep.
That's why.
Very deliberate. Very clear.
866-90-RED-EYE.
The Farm Bill debate in the House is underway. Lawmakers started in on it Wednesday evening. The big issue, the set of changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, adding stricter work requirements. Here's a sample of what we heard.
Strengthening the work requirements is going to have to be a part of what we do.
We have to have a Farm Bill. Let's avoid doing things that would try to kill the process.
The process for this Farm Bill was a sham.
And I hope that we don't do so much damage that we can't pull this back together at the end of the day and get this done.
And I hope my colleagues will look not just at the SNAP program, but also at the certainty that we're going to provide to very hardworking farm families across this country.
No party can do this alone. It's too big of a job. So as ranking member...
And so it went. The debate scheduled now to continue with a possible final vote Friday. In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to David in Portland, Oregon. Dave, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to make the point that I think that the reason why the media and the Democrats are spinning this this comment made by Trump that these guys are animals, and they are, is because their base that they think is theirs, which is the immigrant base, a lot of them are business owners. And a lot of them have seen the relief that has come from the taxes and everything, and they're starting to see the unemployment rates that are really low, and they're starting to see the lie that has been put to them, and they're losing them. And I heard some of the poll numbers coming out, and some of the internal polls are saying that the Hispanic and the immigrant vote is starting to tick up for Trump. And I think they're trying to do whatever they can to discourage the base.
Well, as we've stated from the polls over the last couple of months, some of the strongest demographics against against legal immigration, not even illegal, but the strongest demographics in the country are blacks and Hispanics. What was it, 6 out of 10?
Right.
Want to severely limit legal immigration to this country. And blacks, it's a landslide. And those are core constituencies of the Democrat Party.
For Omnitrax, here's your forecast.
Light rain continues in the places that we've seen it most of the week. The Midwest, the South, the Mid-Atlantic. Even though it's light rain, it can still cause a lot of issues when that ground gets saturated and we get a little wind. We can see down tree limbs and power lines. We've had several deaths related to this storm as a result of some of that saturated moisture. Another result of all the rain, especially in the cooler overnight hours, is the potential for fog. We'll see that developing this morning around Atlanta. Nashville, 30 to 50% chance of showers through the weekend. Indianapolis, rain today, high 72. As we move to the west, we will see the likelihood of severe weather today for the Texas Panhandle. You want to include western Oklahoma in that threat for severe weather today too. So I-40 from Oklahoma City back to Amarillo and I-27 down to Lubbock. Likely to see severe weather today. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. By the way, that article I read came from JC.com, which is JewishChronicle.com. Mr. Sugarman, who now is apologizing for the article he wrote the other day about Gaza.
In the Octagon now, 1-866-90-RED-EYE.
And he's Eric Curley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Two great examples of the media promoting a false narrative, which is, in essence, fake news. Number one, what happened on Gaza this week that made them all look like a bunch of idiots. And as we have said, the propaganda arm for the terrorist group Hamas. And then the other one was president, and we played the audio clip earlier, the president at a conference with law enforcement from California about sanctuary cities, and the question was brought up about MS-13, and he called them animals. And of course, the media took it out of context completely, as did Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats, and made it sound like he was talking about just plain general undocumented immigrants, which he was not. Of course, a question came up during the White House press briefing yesterday, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders responded.
I just want to ask you, because so many people in the country have been talking about it in the last 24 hours, what did the president mean when he said that some immigrants are not people, they're animals?
The president was very clearly referring to MS-13 gang members who enter the country illegally and whose deportations are hamstrung by our laws. This is one of the most vicious and deadly gangs that operates by the motto of rape, control, and kill. If the media and liberals want to defend MS-13, they're more than welcome to. Frankly, I don't think the term that the president used was strong enough. MS-13 has done heinous acts. It took an animal to stab a man 100 times and decapitate him and rip his heart out. It took an animal to beat a woman they were sex trafficking with a bat 28 times, indenting part of her body. And it took an animal to kidnap, drug, and rape a 14-year-old Houston girl. Frankly, I think that the term animal doesn't go far enough, and I think that the president should continue to use his platform and everything he can do under the law to stop these types of.
And as we said earlier, what the left should have said is they should have been upset that the president was insulting animals by comparing MS-13 to the animals. They right. would have had a better argument on that one.
Right. Where's Pam Anderson? PETA, come on. You're not doing your job.
And so that was, that was just.
Well, it was just this bogus display in trying to create something. That was overhyped pile of junk.
As I said, I had the smirk on my face yesterday watching all this saying, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. After
really?
This week.
So same with the Hamas thing. I'm like,
right.
Really?
Well, especially
really?
When that.
You're
when
trying
that,
to sell us this?
When that happened yesterday, I thought, okay, right behind the thing with Hamas.
Yes.
Right behind it. And in the same week, I was telling you off the air during the break, it's the same week that you had these, liberals saying we need to quit bashing Trump. It's for whatever reason, it's not working or it's only helping his base, motivating his base. And then all of a sudden, two major blunders. by the American media that were clearly deliberate. And in both of those cases, and it confirmed what we had been saying to those, you know, the former mayor, Willie Brown. Well, with all due respect, Mr. Brown, your party's not going to change.
Well,
this is further indication of that.
Where does this lead? I mean, right. If I'm a consultant to the Democrat Party, do I say, look, I see where you guys are going. So, look, you booed God a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. You put Michael Brown's mother, Michael Brown, who attempted to kill a police officer. Mm-hmm. You put him on the stage of the DNC. How about we do this for the 2020 election? For the convention, we put members of MS-13 and Hamas on stage right before the acceptance of the nomination from the eventual candidate.
Sure.
Because that'll really get us to win this election.
Right. That's because that's what they became in both cases. They became the propaganda arm. Of those organizations.
So take it all the way. Just make it an official part of the party.
Sure, sure. Bring them up on stage.
And I get, you know, again, being sarcastic here, but again, you never know. There may be some people on the far left. But the point is a clear point. Whatever problems the Republican Party has, and the Republican Party has ideological differences right now that they're, you know, they're discussing the Farm Bill right now. One of the things going on with the Farm Bill right now is the fact that the farmers are just screaming they can't get the labor.
Right.
They can't get the labor that they need. Trump even responded a couple of weeks ago saying, we hear you,
mm-hmm.
which means, more H-2B visas. And they said, we just can't get it quick enough. And because of what they need to verify, it's just easier to start moving farm jobs. Wall Street Journal had an article on it. Editorial on it. It's the many growers now are believing it's just going to be easier to take the growing of food overseas because we're making it too hard to have the labor to actually pick it here in the United States. Even if done legally, the process is too hard. It's easier and cheaper now to do it overseas, and that's what they're going to do. So this whole thing of Buy American, if you start losing agriculture, you know, and so that's a huge issue right now. It's a huge debate going on. It's an ideological issue. You heard it even during our farm report, the back and forth here just about 20 minutes ago. It's a huge issue going on right now. There's a big difference of opinion between different people in the Republican Party, but that's a specific issue. What are they talking about? What are Democrats talking about? What's the media that support them talking about? Absolute propaganda arms for MS-13 and Hamas.
Yeah.
That's what they're dealing with.
Yes.
That's what Democrats are dealing with. And you say, well, not Democrats. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi. Can you get more Democrat than that? She's a minority leader of the House.
Right. Could be the next speaker.
She's the top political honcho right now of the Democrat Party. She took him out of context. Her speech was absolutely bizarre.
It was.
On it when we played that earlier in the show.
Right.
This is what they're dealing with. And so when people think, oh, when you hear the media say, oh, the Republican Party, you know, they're split. They got, yeah, they may be split, but they're split on ideological issues that actually matter.
Yeah.
What's going on with the Democrats? All right, how hard should we support MS-13 or how hard should we take the president out of context on this? And how much should we be the propaganda arm of the terrorist group Hamas? I mean, you know, where's the level of support? Where's the level of propaganda? Where's the level of disinformation and lies that we actually have to say about that? Until we get caught, then we just won't talk about it anymore.
Then we'll just move on.
Just mysteriously disappear as a political issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Democrats are dealing with.
Right.
And plus transracial, transgender, and all that. And climate change and race.
Yeah.
But they haven't changed. There's nothing new there.
No.
Nothing new.
Well, tell me what they're going to promote. Nancy was trying to promote something. We're going to raise your taxes. Woohoo!
I suggest they go with that.
Yep. Well, you know what? It's better than what they're doing now.
You're right.
I mean, I can't measure the damage from either one. It could be close.
Our point is pay very close attention when the media says the only political party that is in peril and has problems and is split and doesn't have a clear message is the Republicans. That's mm-hmm. flat out. That's fake news.
Yes. Very different set of problems.
Let us go to Guy in Chicago. Guy, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Guy.
Yeah, how you doing? Good to listen to you guys always. I listened to BBC America yesterday, and they're talking to somebody about Giuliani's statement in regard to cutting down this Mueller investigation. It's been on for a year. There's nothing there, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, the girl from BBC, who's the news anchor there, is talking to somebody who's a pundit, of course, and the statement that she's making to him is, well, of course, the revelations are coming out every day. It should keep going on. And here she is supposed to be talking about the news, and as we all know, there are no revelations coming out every day. There hadn't been a revelation for months and months and months. But yet BBC is trying to tell people there are revelations coming out every day.
Well, what you hear, and I've heard them get quite sophisticated, I believe, in doing it, is what they say is new revelations coming out today in Mueller's Russia investigation against Donald Trump, and then it has to do with Stormy Daniels and nothing to do with any mm-hmm. thing of Russian collusion or any investigation on Russia.
So they just twisted it around a little bit to try to tie it together like a shoestring or something.
Right, that if it's about the Russia investigation when it is actually technically you can technically make the case it is because they're supposed to, you know, be following anything that has to do with collusion with the Russians and any crime that might come out of that. But as the Manafort judge has said, they may have gone too far with Manafort on, you know, one of the charges. But that's what they do. They try to keep it going. People say, well, I heard the collusion investigation still going on because there's more, revelations coming out. Well, no, not on collusion with the Russians isn't. Because that's really been discounted. So, yeah, you're right on that. They do that, though. I've heard them. I can say I've heard headlines that would be technically correct.
Well,
but really aren't.
A new revelation would be Rudy Giuliani saying that Mueller narrowed the scope of the questions. Is that a new revelation? Okay. I guess.
Right.
But it goes nowhere.
Yeah, because that would be new revelations on the Russia investigation, which means we're trying to find out that whether Donald Trump had the intention of not committing a crime.
Right. Did I
say that right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did say it right. Okay.
Yes.
That we need to find out whether Donald Trump conspired not to commit a crime.
Right.
Because that's where we're at right now.
That's exactly where we are.
What was did Donald Trump have the intention of not committing a crime? Because firing Comey wasn't a crime.
Right.
There is no crime there.
Nope.
There is no obstruction of justice.
Nope.
So that's where we're at now. But it is all part of the Russian investigation, technically,
mm-hmm.
though.
Mm-hmm. Yes. New revelation.
We just don't define what the Russian investigation is about anymore.
Right.
That's the whole. They used to define what it was about. Now they just say Russia investigation.
Well, it's like everybody's walking around going, aha, aha, over nothing. I mean, it really is. Every day they come up with this aha moment on a case that doesn't have a crime attached to it. Still today.
A year. We're now a year.
Yep.
Fully 1 year.
Yep.
Of the Mueller investigation.
Yep.
Nobody can identify a crime of the Trump campaign colluding with the Russians.
It's the Seinfeld investigation. It's an investigation over nothing.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. And remember, it's almost 2 years at the FBI, because if you take the FBI investigation that's started. They think, well, maybe in July of 2016 or maybe way before. So the investigation we could be past the 2 years of investigation and still not one allegation.
Exactly.
Not one allegation of collusion with the Russians to change the outcome of the election.
And the FBI won't even tell us, won't even be forthcoming about the evidence that tells us where it began. Oversight committees can't get access to just find that one answer to that one question. How did it begin?
Why won't they cooperate? That's what the American
it would be real
public
simple.
Want. I thought the Democrats wanted to know, you know, what do they have on Trump?
Right.
Well, they won't tell you what they have on Trump.
Don't know.
Why won't they tell you what they have on Trump? Democrats, get outraged. Yeah. 866-90-RED-EYE.
The Detroit powertrain offers efficiency through innovation. Detroit's Brad Williamson has all the details.
A lot of the people in the industry have been doing downspeeding for a while. This is really our first entry into that arena, if you will. So we've combined a DD15 with a DT12 automated transmission and a 6x2 axle. And you can also get a 6x4, but really it's a complete powertrain. All three pieces, including a front axle, obviously all four pieces are from Detroit. And it also has something in the transmission called intelligent powertrain management. It's a better step towards predictive technology. So it looks a mile in front of you when you're driving. It knows the territory and the terrain you're going to come up on, and it manages the engine and the transmission the most optimally as that it can when you're in cruise control.
For more on the Detroit powertrain, log on to demanddetroit.com. For Shell Rotella, that's the engine report.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley. I'm Gary McNamara. Brian just handed me the list of all the networks carrying the royal wedding.
Yeah, that's
PBS, CBS, MSNBC, NBC, Fox,
they're gonna
BBC
carry
America.
It live? The whole thing, huh?
ABC, wow, okay. E-Network, in a movie theater. There are movie theaters.
Brian's going to one.
You got
no, yes,
to
be yes, yep.
kidding me.
Yep, yep. By the way, Prince Charles will walk her down the aisle. That was just announced earlier this morning.
Oh, now I'll watch.
Of course.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.